I'll take that as an amen, what I just heard. When you walk into the church or a church for the first time, you don't know where things are. And that can be a little awkward. So if you're joining us for the first time here today, welcome. We're glad that you are here. And know that everyone at some point has experienced walking into a church for the first time. So if at one time, in fact, you came here for the first time, and if anybody didn't point out some of the features or experiences of the church, it might have felt a little awkward. In fact, we all know it can feel that way. So today, if you are watching online and you have never been to a church for the first time, I want to invite you to come to Bethlehem Church because we would love to point you around, which in fact is what we're going to do right now. I'm going to invite all of you to help me out in pointing people around. So we want to help people find what they're looking for as a church. So I'm going to share a few things that you might want when you come to church. And then we're going to invite everybody to participate. So if you're a kid with us today, you can probably stand up and point as well. I need your help in this, pointing if you know. If you don't, just watch. And camera, if you can swing around a little bit and show people pointing, we want to get into this. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to give you a list of things. Now, the first one is not necessarily a priority, but for some of you, I know it is. And that is, if someone needs a cup of coffee, right, where do you point them? Where do you point them? That's right. Back in that direction, all the way back in the corner, there's coffee, hot coffee, a lid. You can grab one, come in, have coffee. So here's a big one, especially if you're new to the church. If you come in and you need a bathroom, where are you going to point them? All right, I see some here, some there. You know, just go either way. Kind of like the flight and stewardess this way. You can go over there. Flight attendant over here. You can go to the bathroom over here. Dot, 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 dot. How about, here's a tougher one, maybe you're a youth, you want to know where the youth room is. Where are you going to point them? All right, some of us know, all the way down the hall on the right side, we're pointing them to the youth room. What if someone wants to know where the church office is? Where do you point them? All right, over this way as you're coming in is the church office. Now this might be on a newbie's mind, may not express it, but probably thinking this right now. Maybe some of you have been around for a while, you're still thinking this. If the sermon gets boring, where are the emergency exits? All right, there's one there, there's one there, there's one there. Lots of places you can run. All right. So if someone needs a Bible, where do you point them? Actually, look in front of your seat. They're actually there now. Isn't that amazing? We have Bibles back in our seat. So if you need a Bible, you'll find a few. No, no, no. Oh, no. All right. Well, we should have Bibles in there. All right. Somebody hold up a Bible. All right. Point. There's one right over there. We point them to the Bible. All right. If someone walks in, hasn't experienced worship yet, they're thinking about singing and where they're going to find the words, where are you going to point them? All right, up here on the screen, right? We'll find the words on the screen. Here's the last one. If someone needs, are you ready? If someone needs to get to heaven, where do you point them? Okay, that one's a little confusing, I think. Some of you are pointing up. I look up, see some fans spinning. Man, that could be confusing, right? How do I get to heaven? Some of you maybe pointed up here to the cross. You know, to what that represents. If you turn around and look on the back wall, there's actually a picture or an image, a Swedish image, obviously, of Jesus on the wall. And, you know, you may be pointing to Jesus. Here's what I want us to get out of this. Of all the things that we can point people to, by far the most important one is Jesus. The most important thing we can point people to, the most important person, is Jesus. In fact, I would say, as a follower of Jesus, our job is to point people to Jesus. Our purpose, our call, our mission, above all else, is to point people to Jesus. And the Bible passage today tells us that one of the last things that Jesus told his followers while he was still here on earth, He was this. He said, you will point people to Jesus. He said, you will point people to Jesus. In fact, he said, you will be my witnesses. In other words, Jesus is telling his followers that you will point people to Jesus. So the problem, I think, that the most of us have is when we walk out of church, there's no longer a cross or a big picture to point to or a pastor that you can point someone to. We wonder, our problem is we're not sure how to point people to Jesus. How do we accomplish this? You know, we just learned, right? You just learned that your sole job is to point people to Jesus, but do you? Do you point people to Jesus? And if you're not, here's what I think happens. We miss out on two very important experiences of being a Jesus follower. Two very important experiences. The first one is the opportunity of experiencing the joy of someone finding new life in Christ. That joy of welcoming them in into this new family of God, into this fellowship of believers together. The great joy of having sisters and brothers together in this walk with Jesus. That's one we miss. The other thing we miss, if we're not pointing people to Jesus, is we miss our true calling. We miss the very thing that most fulfills our lives. So chances are you have come across someone who has been soul-searching in these last months or last year. I think, in fact, many of us, maybe you yourself, are soul-searching right now. And what I mean by that is you're trying to figure out in this new shift and transition of everything that's taking place, is what I have been doing something that I want to continue to be doing? Is my life making a difference? Am I living into my calling? Does my life matter anymore? Well, as we walk this out, we don't want to miss that sense of calling. You see, God has placed a purpose in your heart. God has placed a purpose in your life, each one of you, to point people to Jesus. And that is really the kind of thing that gives us the most joy and the most sense of being who God has created us to be. In many unique ways that God has called us to do that, you are called and commissioned to be fulfilled in this role of pointing people to Jesus. And here's what I think. I believe that most of us really do want to do that. I believe that we do want to be effective witnesses. I think that we want others to know that life in Christ that we've begun to experience. I believe that we want people to be thriving and living into this life as part of the church. And I believe that we want to know that There's a difference between just going to church and being the church. We want people to know what it is like to be part of that community of witnesses and to see God at work in the world around us and then pointing people to that work so that they can experience that joy and fellowship. I think we want to be part of that mission that we talked about in the covenant of impacting our world, of making more people and more populations in a more caring and just world, more followers of Jesus. I think we want to point people to Jesus, but are we? Are you? And if you're not sure today, if you're not sure you're pointing people to Jesus, then the Bible tells you exactly how you can. See, the passage today, it shows how we can become witnesses to point people to Jesus. It says, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem. He's speaking to his disciples before he goes up into heaven. He says, do not leave Jerusalem where they are, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. We know about water baptism, right? Maybe some of you have been baptized. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. this did happen, actually, to those disciples. The Holy Spirit did come upon them. We read about it in Acts chapter 2, and it's really quite amazing how God begins to work, and the disciples are telling people from all over the world in amazing ways about Jesus. They are pointing people to Jesus. It's some really exciting stuff. And you know what's even more exciting about what we read in Acts chapter 2 and throughout the book, that all this did happen? What's more exciting is that it is still happening today. The same thing that happened then is still happening right now today. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, as the Father has sent Jesus into his mission, I am sending you." Let me say that again. I am sending you. Jesus told his disciples, "I am sending you." Say that with me. I am sending you. That's you, right? You and you and me. God is sending us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they did. In the book of Acts, as you read through it, it talks about how all this just keeps happening again and again and again and again. As people put their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they become witnesses to Jesus. The Spirit comes in power to make them witnesses, in power. And that's one of the keys about how we do this, is that it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's power. Somebody say power. Power. Do you feel like you have power? To really fulfill that calling, we need the power of the Spirit. So, how do they do that? They're filled with the power, so how do they point to Jesus? Well, they do it by doing the same things that Jesus did. Juan Francisco Martinez and Jamie Pitts, they wrote this little book called "What is God's Mission in the World?" Great question, right? What's God's mission in the world? And they share this: the reason the church exists is to join God's action and purpose in the world. So why does the church exist? Well, it's to join God in what God is doing in the world to fulfill God's purpose. Now we begin to understand what that is, right? God's purpose is beginning to reconcile the world to God, the whole world to God. And how? What's our role in that? Well, our role is what? To point people to? You're getting it. All right, to Jesus. We point people to Jesus. So when we want to know what God is doing in the world, we look at Jesus. How we find our purpose in the world, we look at Jesus. When they did, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did. So again, I ask the question, do you point people to Jesus? You do. When you're doing what Jesus did. Let me say that again. You point people to Jesus when you do what Jesus did. We put a lot of emphasis on Bible camp for our students in the summer. And we do it because it is one of the most effective ways that we point kids and students to Jesus. You know, Lake Beauty Bible Camp has a way of reaching across the divisions that kids face in their daily lives. It lowers those walls at camp, and in some amazing way, the good news of the gospel, it becomes more tangible, more accessible in ways that are kind of hard to duplicate in everyday contexts. And that's why camp is so important. That's why Moose for junior high students is so important. That's why we try to do everything we can to send kids. That's why Unite North senior high youth event coming up is so important, because it points students to Jesus. And not just a picture on the back wall, but it points to Jesus in an experiential way. Kids and youth come back with the experience of Jesus. Not just a knowledge of Jesus, not just a picture of Jesus, but the experience of Jesus. And how does that happen? It happens through the incarnation. So now here's where I'm going to invite you to not look at the exits, because we're going to go a little deeper. I'm going to ask you to dig in a little bit as I talk a little bit about this incarnation and what it is. It's kind of a theological concept, but it has everything to do with pointing to Jesus. Martinez and Pitts, they describe the incarnation saying this: Jesus is God's way of being human. Let me say that again. Jesus is God's way of being human. And we think about God as some being set apart, all-powerful, separate from us as human beings, untouchable in many ways. I mean, the Old Testament describes God as rumbling on the top of a mountain, fearful and awesome, untouchable God, holy, separate from other. And yet, Jesus is God's way of being human, came in the person. God came in the person of Jesus, in the flesh, in experiencing everything what it means to be human with people here on earth. So we think about it. We ask the question, what is God really like? Well, God is like Jesus in human flesh, right? God is like Jesus. The writer of the letter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, he says, He, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. In other words, all of God is present in some fashion, some form, in Jesus. So we ask, what has God done? Well, we look at Jesus. What has Jesus done? The writer continues, he says, through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself, to God, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is a cosmic work that God is doing in the person of Jesus on the cross and reconciling the whole world to himself. So what is God doing now? Well, we ask the question, what has Jesus begun? And we go back to this passage in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus is beginning his mission. He's going to his hometown. He's like going to the Wheaton Cafe for lunch. And he goes to them and he begins to tell them what his purpose, what his mission is, as he unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and begins to read it. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Jesus speaking of himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying this, "Today," somebody say today, "today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What is God doing? Well, God is doing what he has begun in Jesus all the way back there in Nazareth, and it's still taking place. He's doing exactly what Jesus started. Jesus is God incarnate, but Jesus is also God's mission incarnate. So now something inconceivable has happened. God is continuing this mission through his church, as the hands and feet of Jesus, through you and me. So campers go to camp, and they experience Jesus. They're pointed to Jesus. And I believe people can come to Bethlehem and experience Jesus. But that's not the only way to point to Jesus. You know, when we leave the sanctuary here, when there's no picture on the back wall, when there's no cross up here, when there's no pastor, how do we point people to Jesus? Well, Jesus went to those on the outside. He went to those who were sick. He went to the outcast. He went to those who were not religious. Do you know anybody like that? Those who were poor. Those who were different. Those who couldn't help themselves. Those who had no one else to turn to. That's who Jesus went to. Who do you know like that? You know, you can find a million excuses. I certainly can. I come across those excuses all the time. Of course I know people like this. But, the only but is this, your job is to point to Jesus, to people like these. And here's the good news. The Holy Spirit has made us witnesses. He's empowered us to experience this joy of sharing that good news. So Jesus challenged those in power. Over and over and over and over again. He taught the rich how to be generous. He warned them against trusting in their wealth. So who do you know who has power and influence and wealth? Did you know that you are empowered to witness to them, to point them to Jesus, to invite them to follow the life that you know, to lay down their life for the sake of the gospel and find life in doing this, to use their gifts to advance the kingdom of God. Did you know that you are empowered to point people like that to Jesus? Jesus invites everyone to join in this work through the breaking in of the kingdom of God, where God is at work. So we look and look around and see, where is God at work? Who do you know that needs community? Who do you know that needs to be surrounded by good people? Who do you know that needs to belong? Who do you know that needs to be embraced in a time of grief and tragedy? Who do you know that needs to be supported? Who do you know that needs to be engaged in adding value to other people, in building relationships? Who do you know? Your job is to point them to Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, it begins with a conversation. Did you know the future is coming faster than you might think? Things are changing around us. Sometimes it just happens and we feel we have no control over that, possibly. But we do have control about how we respond to that. We do have opportunity in the midst of the challenges and changes to step into the lives of those who are now searching, now looking, now asking questions. And we have the opportunity to point people to Jesus. So God is at work right now. And we are called to point people to the future where this mission is complete and where the reign of God on earth is in heaven. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." So when we yield to the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we begin to become particularly good neighbors. We become good neighbors, which means we fulfill what Walford Fair, in his Building on the Rock, he says, "The message of the gospel that we communicate is not simply about getting to heaven." Remember, how do you get to heaven? We point it up to the fan. "The message of the gospel is not actually only about getting to heaven, but about giving heaven to earth." About getting heaven to earth. About our communities of faith becoming transformation communities. About the experience of Jesus happening right here in our midst as followers of Jesus. And that happens as we love God and we love our neighbors, as we become good neighbors. So we look around our communities. We need to ask ourselves, are there places that need heaven right now? And if the answer is yes, then we ask, how is the Spirit moving me to go and point to Jesus in those places? How can I be the incarnational gospel, the actual Spirit-empowered hands and feet of Jesus to those people in those situations? Well, friends, we are the church. Martinez and Pitts, they remind us, it's not so much that the church has a mission, but that God's mission has a church, right? God's mission of bringing reconciliation to the whole world has a church, has you. We are the church. And one way that we can point to Jesus is through BLESS. It's a BLESS acronym. Say BLESS with me. BLESS. So if we think about this, this is a kind of a step-by-step that we can take to engage people where they are and begin to enter in to find out where God is at work and begin to point people to Jesus. Now, we can just tell people, right, or point to the cross, but this way seems to work best as a relational style of evangelism. And so it begins with B, which is begin with prayer. Everything that God is calling us to begins with our centering and focus on Jesus in prayer. Begin to pray and ask God, who is it that you would like me to point to Jesus? So we begin with prayer, and then L is listen with care. We listen to how to a person in conversation and how God is at work in their lives. What are their concerns? What's happening? Where is that in their lives that they're looking? In the conversations I've been having with people lately, I'm finding, again, that people are searching in a brand new way. And we find that out by listening. So listen with care. And then E, say E. Eat. Who eats? All right, we've been through this before. We eat, right? Eating is, most of us like to eat, so eating together is the one way that we sit down around a meal and share in that intimate fellowship together of being one another. There's a lot that can happen around a meal, besides getting ketchup on your shirt. There's a lot that can happen as we sit down and listen and share and even prepare and enjoy one another around a meal. It's a very intimate fellowship experience. So we eat together as we're moving closer in relationship together. And then S, in the bless, the first S is serve in love. As we are doing all this, we find ways that we can serve others. We can love them as being the hands and feet of Jesus. And then finally, at the end of all this is share your story. Share, in the last S, share your story about how God is at work in your life through Christ, how the Holy Spirit has been working in your life. So bless evangelism. Somebody say bless. So we want to go out and bless those around us. I want to wrap this up today with a quote by Martinez and Pitts. And as I read this, it helps us to understand how God is at work in and through our lives to point to Jesus. They write, "As we live into God's future, we give testimony of what God is doing on earth and what God's future for our humanity looks like. As we live as a community of faith, we point to how God wants humans to live together. As we pray for the sick, we point to that day when there will be no more sickness. As we seek to repair injustices, we point to the day when all people will be reconciled in Christ. As we help each other, we point toward the day when there will be no more need. As we allow the Spirit of God to move us and to help us grow, we become signs of what God is doing through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we go out into the world as testimonies of what Jesus did, in the power of the Spirit, we become the means or sacrament that God uses to give grace to the world. God works through us. Our job is to point people to Jesus. And when others see Christ in us, we humbly celebrate." We celebrate. And today we do have something to celebrate. Our camp director called us last week and told us that one of our campers gave their lives to Jesus this past week at Lake Beauty Bible Camp. So we praise the Lord for that, and that is worth celebrating today. I'm going to invite Pastor Greg to come up today as we prepare for Holy Communion. And as we do, we recognize that this is a sacrament. In many ways, we are called to be a sacrament. The experience of God working through us, God's grace at work through us to those around us. As we come to the table today to celebrate this sacrament that Jesus instituted for us, think about how you yourselves are sacraments in the world around us. How we are bringing the grace of God as God works through us.